17 minutes past the hour of 10 here on the marriage program on Radio Islam International. And we continue with our discussion that we've been having over the last few weeks on the five love languages. And you can interact with us, the SMS number 488855, or you can WhatsApp us on 0727861548 and share with us any of your thoughts with regards to this discussion. So as we mentioned that, you know, from the book, The Five Love Languages, there are five love languages, and that is giving gifts, words of affirmation, physical touch, acts of service, and spending quality time. And all five of these will no doubt be appreciated by your spouse, but there are some people who have one or some who have two primary love languages, and we need to learn to take advantage of this. We need to understand what is our spouse's love language and then put most of our effort in that. In that way, we will be able to show our love to them. And it's important to take out the time and to learn to understand this. When you have the understanding of what is their love language, you are able to then use it to your advantage, and you're able to then create that bond, and in this way the marriage would inshallah stay in a very good in a very good way. So you know, I was just reading about this, and in the book as well, it's mentioned that it can be misunderstood and it could be misinterpreted what is your spouse's love language. And they give a very good example, and they say that you might have grown up in a house where you found that your father would always appreciate your mother whenever she would cook a nice meal, or whenever she would prepare a very delicious meal. You would see that your father would be very happy about this. He would be, you know, he would thank her and he would show her love. So growing up in that, or even in the other way around, you grew up in a house where you seen that your mother was very appreciative when your father helped around in the house. So growing up, you might think that, you know what, I need to bring the same qualities into my marriage as well. And no doubt those are good qualities and they should be brought into the marriage, but understand that what is your spouse's love language as well. Maybe they will appreciate that, but they'll appreciate spending quality time or physical touch more than what they would appreciate acts of service. So this week we'll continue with it, and last week we spoke a lot about physical touch, whether it be, you know, just a small kiss before you leave the house, or a spontaneous hug while you're doing the chores, or holding hands, or whatever it may be. But this week we look at the fourth love language, and it is acts of service. And from the five love languages, you'll find that this is the one that is most time intensive of the five love languages. So you seek, you know, you can't just say a word of kindness or a quick kiss, but you have to show them your love through services. And this takes effort, it takes time, and it takes a lot of your energy as well. But acts of service, this is, you know, when we do things for your spouse, things that you know they would like, things that they would appreciate, and you seek to please them by serving them, or to express your love by doing these things. If your spouse's primary love language is acts of service, then he or she, you know, they'll probably be, you know, very happy when you do an undesirable job, such as cleaning the bathroom, or just doing the grocery shopping, or putting, you know, the laundry in the machine, or just fixing one of the appliances that are not working, or even, you know, that necklace that has been tangled, so you untangle it for them, and you'll get the biggest thank you if their primary love language is acts of service. So, you know, when we look at this love language, and when we look at this here, there's no greater example than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the quality of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would help around in the house, he would help with those chores in the house. And it is one of the neglected sunnah of our time. You know, sometimes as men, you might think it to be beneath you, or you might think that, you know what, I don't need to really help my wife around the house. This is her job. This is her responsibility. She needs to keep the house clean. She needs to make sure that the children are all neat and dressed and clean. And this is her responsibility. But if you look into the sunnah life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, and she said, what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she was asked, what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam do in his house? She replied that, you know, كَانِ يَكُونُ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ or فِي خِدْمَةِ أَهْلِهِ, that he used to keep himself busy serving his family. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would keep himself busy serving his family, and when it was time for salah, he would go and do that. So you find that the word that was used in this hadith, mihna or khidma, it's translated as, you know, busy serving, and it's like a work or a job or profession. So this means that helping your wife in the house is also like a full-time job as well. Whether it be helping with washing the dishes, if you can't do it every day, at least do it once or twice a week, you know. Cooking, cleaning, you know, helping with the children, all of this here is part and parcel of being the husband or being the man of the house. And sometimes this notion, I don't know where it has started and why there is this perception that, you know what, it's degrading for men to help with the work in the house. And it's something that really isn't foreign to Islam. But from the beginning, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was the quality that he showed, that he would do everything that would be done in the house. He would, you know, in that time, he would patch his own garments as well, and he would milk the goats as well. So this is it's a very important thing, especially if your spouse is the one who speaks this sort of love language. And you'll be able to understand this. You know, sometimes we think that, okay, we're speaking about the five love languages, and how do I understand which one is the primary love language of my spouse? So you got to just take a listen sometimes at what they criticize, what they are saying. In this, you'll be able to understand that, okay, this is what they need, and this is what they want from you, or this is their desire. So put in that effort. If you find that your spouse is saying that, you know, you don't help me around the house, you don't do anything for me, you don't do this, you don't do that, it's a clear sign that maybe you should try to use that to your advantage. And instead of complaining about it or fighting back against it, just change your ways. But, you know, because once that honeymoon phase of the marriage is over, and, you know, the reality of marriage sets in, many people, you know, there are these small issues that arise, and it needs to be addressed right away before they become larger and lead to bigger problems. And amongst these problems is housework and chores. When you just say this name, or when you just say this word, housework, or you say chores, you know, it already brings back, you know, it will just click something in your brain that makes you feel a bit down, or makes you feel that, hey, that is hard work. But like we said, take the example from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and together with doing it to help in building your relationship with your spouse, do it with the intention of sunnah, and do it with the intention of ibadah, that this is also a form of worship, that I am fulfilling the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best example. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith, he said that, you know what, he said that the best of you are those who are best to their family, and I am the one who is best to their family. So you need to, how do you bring this into your life, these acts of service? If you have been lazy, if you've been lying around and not really helping about, you know, you shouldn't have this perception that I'm in charge of the finance, and I'm in charge of, you know, making sure that there is money to buy the food, or money to do that, and money for the groceries, money for whatever we need. But rather, this is you should work as a unit, that, you know what, we need to share this responsibilities as well. So firstly, just try and start doing the chores that, you know, that relate specifically to your own things. And then, you know, just doing things that you should be doing for yourself, that you shouldn't expect your spouse to be doing. And then you can move on to things you know, for the entire household. And also, you know, because many of the Muslim wives or Muslim women, you know, they're always at home, so they never shy away from doing the chores. But if you willingly, you know, without asking her, perform a few of these chores, you will find that you'll see how that love and that will increase for you, and how it will be appreciated just by doing this. Yeah, you know, this will provide a much needed boost in the relationship, and that is what the barakah of the sunnah will bring as well. So, if your wife, if her primary love language is acts of service, these are just a few things that you can do. Help around with the things in the house, help around with cleaning the dishes, doing just taking the laundry and put it in the washing machine as well. These are small actions that you can do. And if your husband, his primary love language is acts of service, then what is it that a wife can do in order to help him? That there are many things, you know, that also they're just doing the chores, making sure that everything is on its place as well. And one thing that when I was reading about this, I found something quite interesting. I said, I might as well just share it with the listeners. They say that, you know what, at times whenever you go out, or whenever you eat out at a restaurant, then generally, and I think in all times, the man would always offer to pay, or they would be the one that is paying the bill. But they say that if your husband's primary love language is extra service, now and then, they probably won't allow you, or they, you know, they'll be very unwilling. But now and then, just tell them, you know what, today it's my treat. Today I'm going I'm going to be kind to you. I'm going to take you out. Things like this, here, you know, just small actions. Getting their clothes ready before they go to work, taking out the clothes for them. These are small actions that if their primary love language is acts of service, that they will no doubt appreciate. And in the end, we need to understand that, you know what, when we speak about acts of service, it's not meant that you need to meet your partner's demands, but rather, you know, when you do something out of your own to keep him or her happy, that is not only that whenever they ask, I'm going to do it, but out of your own as well, try and do something to keep them happy. So just by working on this, yeah, it's small things that take a bit of time, take a bit of effort. Like we said, from the five love languages, this is probably the one that takes out the most time and energy, and you have to really put in some effort in it. But learning to understand the love language, learning to do this, and also doing it with the intention of sunnah, will no doubt bring the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and will no doubt bring happiness in the marriage. Okay, 29 minutes past the hour of 10. With that, we do come to the end of that segment. Inshallah, we will continue with this discussion in the following weeks. There is just one more love language that we need to discuss, and that is quality time, and inshallah we'll speak about that next week. And then also we will speak a bit about you know, how to identify and how to find out what is the love language of your spouse as well. That is coming up in the following weeks, inshallah. Right now it's time for our new segment, or rather the segment that we have on the marriage program, 100 ways to show someone that you love them.
100 ways to feel loved.
Right, so this is just one or two small points that we touch on every week that we can bring into our relationship. You know, that they don't. The biggest reasons why couples fall out of love is simply because they don't feel loved by their partners. Because we don't take out the time to say I love you, or we don't take out the time to make that phone call or send a text message or just do these small actions. So last week we said that, you know what, tell them how much you appreciate it when they do things for you. This was one of the points that we said last week. This week, the point is that tell them how much you enjoy certain aspects of their personality. Tell them how much you enjoy certain aspects of their personality. For example, you know, if your husband or your wife has a bit of a good sense of humor, then tell them that I love your sense of humor. and praise something that is specifically for them. That you know, you need to be praised for who you are, and so do they. That you like it when someone praises you for who you are and the person that you are. So in the same way, they also need to feel that same praise. So tell them how much you enjoy certain aspects of their personality. 25 minutes to the hour of 11 here on the Radio Islam International, or here on the marriage program on Radio Islam International. And as we said earlier in the program, that when it comes to marriage advice, most of the time it's you know, the very elderly people, the old people, those who've gone white and who've gone gray in their beards and hair or gone bald, they are the ones that have the best marriage advices. And because they've been living so long in this relationship, you know, they are able to solve, if you're having a, you know, a small issue, or you might think that it's a big issue, but just when you take the advices, they're able to solve it, you know, just in a sentence or two. So what we've done, I did speak to one of the people like this, who has been married for a number of years, and I asked them that, you know, what is it that, what qualities, what is it that you should be putting into your marriage if you want to, you want to have, you know, everlasting or a long-lasting marriage. What is it that you should do? And they mentioned 5 points. Take a listen to this.
So a long-lasting relationship, a marriage, basically requires communication, commitment, kindness, acceptance, and love. Communication fundamentally is to communicate effectively with your spouse on all aspects of life, not just those things which you think is important, because you don't actually know what she might think is important as well. Commitment, I think it's the most obvious thing. You commit yourself not just to the relationship, but to your wife in all aspects of your life. Kindness comes from both sides. You be kind on every aspect, whether it's making the bed in the morning, whether it's helping her wash the dishes, or doing the dishes yourself, or splitting the duties. All of that is kindness in even in the smallest of ways. Acceptance, to accept firstly that you have faults, and of course to accept her faults as well. Not to highlight it or to put it out there, but merely to accept it and say, shukr, this is what my relationship involves, accepting my faults and accepting her faults as well. And of course love, all of that basically forms part of love. In terms of the acceptance, in terms of kindness, and in terms of even the physical aspects of a relationship. And that for me is one of the key aspects, or some of the key aspects of a marriage.
You are tuned into Radio Islam.
Yes, that was the advice that was given, and they focused on 5 points, and we'll add on to that a bit as well, that I went to look about and read about these 5 qualities, and they were actually ones that were mentioned very frequently in many different marriage articles and marriage books as well. And the interesting part was that I found that, you know, that one of the studies that was published by one of the universities, that they found that communication is the number one trait of marriages that last. And this survey was done in America, and they took about 400 Americans that are 65 years of age or older, and who have been married, or you know, have been in a relationship for at least 30 years. And the majority of these participants said that they believe that most marital problems could be resolved with open communication. And likewise, many of the participants in the survey whose marriages had ended, they blamed the lack of communication for the breakdown of their relationship. So good communication between couples help maintain closeness and intimacy. And couples with long-lasting marriages, with long-lasting relationships, talk to each other without lying, without accusing, without blaming, dismissing and insulting. These are all, detrimental to good communication. And they do not stonewall each other as well, or become passive-aggressive, or call each other names. The happiest couples, aren't those that who are concerned about who is at fault. They don't worry that I'm right and you're wrong, but they regard themselves as a unit. And what affects one half of the couple affects the other. And what is most important to see of these couples is that the relationship is healthy. So, as the brother mentioned, that, the one point is communication. Communication is key to a good marriage. And it's not about blaming, accusing, lying, or calling each other names, or pointing the finger at the next person, but rather understand that we are a unit, and what affects half of the couple affects the other as well. So how to then rectify and any problem or any disagreement in the marriage with good communication. And the second point that they mentioned was that of commitment, that in any relationship, in any that you want should last, there should be commitment. And the same university, when they were doing this survey, they found that the sense of commitment is a key factor in long-lasting marriages. That amongst the elders that were surveyed, the researchers saw that rather than considering marriage a partnership based on passion, the elders, they saw marriage as a discipline, something to be respected, even after the honeymoon phase had ended. And that they saw that, the marriage is worth it, even when they meant having to sacrifice short-term pleasure for something that is more rewarding later on. So commitment is the glue, that holds a marriage together. In healthy marriages, there are no judgments, no guilt trips, no threat of divorce as well, which is becoming ever so, which is becoming more common by the day, that the moment there's a slight disagreement, or the moment there's argument that takes place, either the husband will threaten that, if you don't change your ways, or if you don't do this, then this is going to happen, or I'll find someone else. And it happens on the other side as well, where the woman say that, if you're not going to change your ways, I'm walking out of here, I'm going back to my house, my father will pick me up right now. So these are things that are not healthy for the relationship, but rather there should be commitment from the very beginning. And this is where you'll find that the foundation and the stability of good marriages are built on commitment. And this commitment then acts as, a steady and a strong presence to keep that relationship grounded. And the third point that the person mentioned, that the brother mentioned, is that of kindness. That when it comes to maintaining and having a good marriage, then a little kindness goes a long way. A little kindness goes a long way. And when there is a marriage in which the husband and the wife are showing each other kindness, you'll find that this marriage will last a long time. It may seem, simple, that, just being kind, being generous. And this is something that we are taught from a very young age. That from when we are kids, we are taught that, you need to be kind, whether it be to your siblings or your cousins or whoever it may be, your friends, family members, etc. And also you are taught to be generous as well, that from a very young age you are taught, sharing is caring, and being generous, letting the other child play with your toys and all of this. Yeah. So we need to bring this as well into our marriages, the same kindness, the same generosity that we are taught up, that we are brought up with. Apply this in your marriage as well, and this will help with those long-term, committed relationships, and it helps in keeping that love between one another. That there's no golden rule that you should apply, that you have to do this or I have to do this, but just being the way that you interact with your spouse, the way that you talk with your spouse. Are you genuinely engaging them when they or she talk about things that that you're not interested in? Sometimes the husband might be interested in something and he's speaking to his wife about this and he has great interest in this. What level of concentration are you showing towards them? And the other way is around. The wife might be talking of something that is very dear to her or something that she really loves. So you've got to show that level of concentration and show that you are listening to them. This is all part of being kind and being generous as well. Being kind and being generous with your time as well. So try to apply, you know, this kindness and at every opportunity that you get. And the fourth point that they mentioned is that of acceptance. You know, that we need to accept first that we are not perfect, and that no one here is perfect. That even your spouse, they are going to have one or two things that you might find or that you might dislike, or you might not be too comfortable with that. But acceptance is very important. You've got to accept your own faults and accept those of your partners as well. Know that no one is perfect and take your partner for who they are. You know, people in unhappy marriages, you'll find that they're always seeking faults in their partners, and they even project, you know, that their own faults onto their spouse. There's something that's lacking in them, or that they blame it on their spouse. And this is a way of staying in denial about their own faults and growing increasingly intolerant to their partner's behavior. And now this is important, you know, this acceptance, and, you know, that there's no perfect person. There's no person that, you know, you are going to 100% agree with them. There are one or two things that will, you know, irritate you, annoy you, but you got to look past that. And sometimes this understanding or this perception comes into our mind because of, I don't know if it's the books that we read or just shows that we watch, and we think that, you know what, two people come together and they live happily ever after and they understand everything between one another. This doesn't happen in real life. That is just sometimes a fiction, or sometimes it's a show, and that is how they portray it. But in real life, there are going to be speed bumps. There are going to be one or two times when you're going to go past through a tunnel and there'll be darkness, but you got to wait it out, and you got to have that commitment and have that acceptance within you that, you know what, this is part of marriage as well. And the key is first accept yourself for who you are, and accept your partner as well for who they are. So whether it be you snore too loudly, or you talk too much, or you overeat, or things like this, your partner, you got to understand that they also have their faults, and just as they have accepted you and they don't complain about this, yeah, in the same way you shouldn't be doing that. And the last one is that of love. You know, it should go without saying that a loving couple is a happy couple. That in the first few months of marriage, in the first few years of marriage, you fall in love, but to keep that love going till the very end. And then there's different ways to love a person. There's different ways that you can show your love, as we spoke about in the first segment of the program. So that should be, you know, the key point to all. That should be the key point to all of you know, or rather the qualities that we should bring into a marriage, that if we want our marriage to be long-lasting and forever-lasting, these are some of the points that we can look at. The 12 minutes to the hour of 11, we take a short break. When we come back, continue with the program. 8 minutes to the hour of 11 here on the marriage program on Radio Islam International. And we've just got a few messages here that we are going to go through. The one says that just needed some advice. My husband is the most overprotective man, and he doesn't let me go anywhere. He complains about everything. And he says that, you know what, if I can't live the way he wants me, I must pack up and go. And can't talk to him about anything. He's so, you know, that you have people sometimes that do this and who are overprotective. So when it comes to a relationship like this, that the partner being overprotective or controlling or questioning, we need to understand why is it. Sometimes it's, you know, because the partner himself or he himself is feeling, you know, insecure. And because of this fear and living with this insecurities, that they are then overprotective. And, you know, they're trying to hide their own insecurities by taking it out on their partner. And this It's a result of the partner feeling maybe threatened or being overprotective. They try to control the whole situation. So what is it that a person can do? And what is it that if you are in this type of situation that one is, of course, you know what, you need to be understanding for that partner. And if it is just because of something that has happened and it's for a few months or something, maybe it will go away, and maybe it will stop. And if it is over a long period, and if it is that it's been a struggle that you are going through, then the important thing is to communicate that if this overprotectiveness is a general pattern with your partner, then you need to communicate with them in a non-judgmental way. In a non-judgmental way. And just explain to them that this overprotective behavior is what is it? What impact it's having on you, and what impact it's having on the relationship? See, in every situation, you want to look to save the relationship. You want that love and that mahabba to come back into the marriage. And so, try to communicate these issues. Try to give them that firstly, show them that respect, or you know, in a way that you won't be disrespectful to them. Bring up the topic and speak to them in a non-judgmental way, and maybe that could help. And in the end, if all of this is not help, if you've tried everything, and then of course the last thing would be to get some outside help, that whether it be a marriage counselor or someone that has experience with dealing with these issues, then you need to sit with them and tell them that this is the problem that we are having, and this is it's having an impact, it's really affecting our relationship, so we need to then sort it out. But there is a way that this needs to be done as well, with respect, and showing them that respect, and not being too judgmental about this situation. And with that, we do come to the end of the marriage program on this Saturday morning. Inshallah, we will be back next week, continuing with the five love languages, and Mualima Abira Peer will be joining us as well. From myself, Ibrahim Daya, and our studio operator this morning, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.